I'm John from Unqualified Gamers. Hello, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance level 10. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents of equal or higher security clearance.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., podcast number 44. This podcast is covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., season 2, episode 2, Heavy is the Head. And it is recorded, our podcast anyway, on Thursday, October 2nd, 2014. We're a fan-based podcast on the television show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Universe.
Because they are connected by the power of Glenn Talbot and Howard Stark's mustaches.
That's a lot of hair.
That is a lot of really kind of porn stashy hair.
Did you see the picture of Haley Atwell?
Yes, I did.
Dominic and Cooper's mustache.
It was adorable. But you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You could find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all by searching Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you can find us at our forums at forums.gunnageek.com, or you can search for Gunna Geek, all one word, on Tapatalk.
Ooh, you got it the first try. That is so cool.
Yes, I did.
I failed earlier this week on Gunna Geek Podcast. So way
rather
to go.
Spectacularly. Yeah.
So by the way, we have a giveaway going on until next week. It's a t-shirt giveaway. It's a S.H.I.E.L.D. t-shirt. So all you have to do is call our voicemail line and tell us what would Fitz do with his monkey.
That sounds filthy.
You caught that, huh?
Yes, I did.
You're not as sick as you seem.
I may be sick. Yes, I'm definitely sick.
All right. So go ahead, give us a voicemail and tell us what Fitz would do with a monkey all the way until October 8th. We have a lot of Twitter feedback this week.
Yes,
yeah, we do. Everyone was chatty.
It's awesome. So it started out with Mr. Paracletes. He actually responded to our podcast last week, and he said the alphanumeric XFT5200, which remember was one of the license plate numbers, may be a Civil War Quinjet model reference.
Which I was totally going to look up in my copy of Civil War, and then I forgot. So somebody remind me. And as soon as we're done recording, and I will go dig it out and find it.
You got it. And more importantly, we had a lot of feedback from Andy. First of all, he said, I finally watched the season premiere and recognized the Nazi officer from Dollhouse, but only at the end.
Yeah, for the first time I watched that episode, I didn't recognize him at the beginning either. I recognized him at the end when he's looking more like he did in Dollhouse.
That's true. That's true. He's been through some makeup between the pilot and now, so it was easier to see him.
Yeah, the first time I saw him, I was like, man, that guy looks a lot like the guy from Dollhouse, but it can't possibly be him.
And it was. It's great. We also had feedback from the operator. You may know him from such great podcasts on the Gunna Geek Network as Legends Podcast, Legends News Stream, and Comic Book Legends. He sent us a tip. He said, ooh, a lot of people DVR Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. apparently. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in ratings, but thank you very much for the tip, Op. Andy, actually, I knew Andy spoke German. So thank you very much, Andy, for getting back to us. But he tweeted us about what the German people were saying at the very beginning of the pilot. Something to secure. Do you understand? Haven't you heard? Schnell, idioten, or shoot you, gibberish. I like the gibberish.
Vaguely German-sounding sounds.
But then he continued, and he said one of the other ones was do it fast. But wasn't that clear to understand in the opening scene. Couldn't have they done a zoom in a la Red October? I was like, oh yes, it would have been so cool, where they're talking like German and then they zoom in, and or Russian in Red October, and they zoom in and then all of a sudden
it's English.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like to see a lot more of that.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Right. And then somebody named @SithWitch tweeted us, and she said,
I wonder who that is.
FYI, I have a cold or something, and we'll just call it Ebola. We'll just call it what it is. And may still sound like Mr. I'm sorry. It's funny. Like Dr. Mrs. the Monarch this week.
I sound better than I did 2 days ago.
I was wondering. I was like, hello.
I was looking forward to having Dr. Mrs. the Monarch guest this week.
That's the thing that Sean was always saying, I've never seen this side of you.
Right. Or, it's a drop. I have not been that sick yet on a podcast. It'll come this winter. We'll get it's a drop.
I lost my voice when I was in high school screaming at someone. I used to be the color guard captain, and I had to scream at people. And one time I got so angry that I actually lost my voice. And when I was getting it back, I sounded like Marge Simpson's sisters.
Like you've been smoking for 50 years.
Yes.
So Stephen Wandrew also tweeted, he said, listening to the latest Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. while mowing my lawn, life is good. Well, I guess, you know, mowing lawn in Vancouver, I guess that's what? Two weeks out of the summer?
It's better than mowing the lawn in Texas, I'll tell you that. Yeah. And we're glad that we made your life a little happier.
There you go, Stephen.
Assuming that you're talking about us and not your lawn.
And by the way, Stephen, congratulations. Big Blind Poss Papa actually became Papa times two. And aww, he is a brand new daddy the second time. So congratulations to the Wanderers.
Yay. Grats.
A little too clinical. Said, oh, I was name dropped. I love you guys. And we love you too. So thank you very much. And he also continued and said, my son saw Creel become wood on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the other night and yelled, Groot!
Because everyone loves Groot.
That's true.
It's true. He also said, he had another couple interesting ones. He said, I read once that Marvel was dealing with a lawsuit from Disney over Howard's appearance when Howard the Duck was in development. That was interesting. And he said, he continued and said, which I heard was also responsible for some of the issues with the film.
I know that Marvel was sued by Disney over Howard the Duck at some point because they said that he looked too similar to Donald, which is why they had started having to put pants on him. But I would have to go back and look at exactly when that was. I would not doubt that it was right around the time when the movie was coming out because, you know, that's when things draw notice.
Yeah. I forget who was the production company for that. I don't remember. And I don't have my DVD anymore. I had to send it to Willie.
Mine is...
How are you ever going to do your rewatches?
Do we have to revisit that? No.
My DVD is about 10 feet away, but that's 10 feet too far all for right. me to go get it.
But Marvel wasn't a studio back then. Marvel just became a studio for Iron Man. So somebody else did it back then. George Lucas, so it's 20th Century Fox, I'm thinking? Whatever. Anyway, moving on. Facebook, thank you guys very much for all the likes, all the stories that we post there through the week, and you guys are all liking it. It's great. I'll keep it going. Haley will keep it going. Laura will keep it going, so that's good. Forum, we have one. Please use it. We like to communicate there. We can have a little bit more in-depth conversations than Twitter there, so get on the forum. Register at gunnageek.com, and we'll go there. Oh, we do have a voicemail this week. Amazing, huh, girls?
Yay.
We get to hear our listeners.
Yes. So you guys ready to hear one of our listeners now?
Very ready.
Okay. Yes. Here we go.
Hello, fan of the podcast here, Willie Nelson. I had a funny little idea. Now, go back and rewatch the episodes. Now, imagine Fitz is not seeing Simmons. Imagine he is seeing his little wee monkey. But here's the kicker. It's still talking with him with Simmons' voice. I thought that was a funny little quip. You guys keep on rolling, and I'll keep on listening. Willie Nelson out.
That would actually be hilarious.
He'd have a head monkey.
Yes.
Do you think it'd be on his shoulder, like the pirate's monkey?
Oh my God, that would be great.
Or maybe it's on Simmons' shoulder, and you don't see Simmons' lips moving. You see the monkey's lips moving, but her voice coming
God.
Out.
Wasn't that the plot of a Mel Gibson movie? He would only talk through a beaver puppet.
I don't know. There was an episode of Doctor Who that was like that. The 11th Hour. where the alien was impersonating a guy with a dog.
And I think there was a little bit of Men in Black in there, too.
Yeah, but... Frank the Pug.
Yeah. Yep. So... Anyway, thank you very much, Willie. That is awesome. What a great idea, and I would love to see it.
We are all in favor of a monkey with Simmons' voice.
Hear, hear. Also, what do you guys think? I mean, that's something with the monkey, what Fitz would be doing with the monkey. So do you think that qualifies for the giveaway?
Definitely.
I think it does.
All right, Willie, you just got yourself entered in the giveaway, so thank you very much. We have the voicemail line. Please use it. We've gone through a list of questions last time. I'll just quickly reiterate it here. Who is your favorite top five Marvel characters? Give us some episode feedback from either the podcast or the actual show. What are your Science of Marvel questions? We have three technical-minded people here. Give us your questions. Always, always, why Wing is wrong. And for those of you new to the podcast, Wing originally started this podcast. He's over on Legends Podcast on the Gunna Geek Network. He's always wrong. What's your favorite Wing is Wrong story? We're always interested in that. What do you want to see as the untitled 2018 Fox-produced Marvel-based movie? That would be great. And what kind of sport does Agent Coulson play in high school? So all those questions would be great. Guess what?
What?
We had something spectacular happen this week. We got our very first iTunes review.
Yay! I know. I almost jumped out of my chair when I saw that.
That's awesome. It was by Movie Man of Houston. He said, I really enjoy the quirky nature of the show and how they tie in the show with the bulk of the Marvel comic verse, which how can you not? The rapport is first rate and very knowledgeable about Marvel. He is not talking about me there. You won't find another podcast on this show that's as fun or as interesting. And it's titled, They Have Laminates and Not Afraid to Use Them, which is
true. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your review. And for those out there, we don't really believe in pimping reviews, but they're very helpful and we want to hear them, specifically the iTunes review, because when people are searching for podcasts about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the reviews help. So if you want to get out there and give us a review, that's great. Thank you very much to Movie Man. We won't be pimping every show for them, but we will definitely read them if you throw them out there. So thank you very much.
Thank you again.
So, we had an episode, and we have ratings for that episode.
Yes, we do. For the latest episode, Season 2, Episode 2, Heavy as the Head, we had live plus same day ratings, 5.05 million viewers, which is down almost a million from last week. But last week's numbers have been modified with the live plus 3, so it went from 6 million to 8.9 million.
That's not bad.
That's a big jump. That's a huge jump. That's a 3-point jump. That's great. That's almost getting into NCIS numbers.
Yeah, the article I read said they were pretty much dead even now with the live plus 3 ratings.
So there, take that, cop-solving scientists.
I would like to point out that the science on the NCIS and CSI shows is terrible. I could just go into all day why it's so bad, but at least on a comic show, you're going into it with the assumption of comic book science. Yeah, right. Comic book science has never gotten a court case misjudged. I have issues. I have so many issues.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I've got some older teenage kids, and so I've dealt a lot with their friends that are thinking about what they want to do. And because I'm like technical minded, they're like, hey, what do you think about forensic science? And I'm like, well, it's great. But it's not like you see on TV. So what you need to do is you need to hook up with your local FBI crime lab or your local state crime lab or whatever. So a lot of little municipalities don't have any forensic scientists. It's the bigger cities. It's the states. It's the federal agencies. So go find one. Go check them out. And that's what they really do. It is not what you see on TV. Although it's cool. And if you're interested in it, that's cool too. Like I'm interested in rocket science. But I'm not on the Starship Enterprise.
Slacker.
Yeah, it's never what you thought it was going to be.
No, but it's still cool.
It's still cool, but it's never what you thought it was going to be based on popular portrayals.
Well, we'll see what the L plus 3 ratings turn out to be for week 2, because I kind of like the, I don't know, we'll talk about it later, but I did like the episode, so it's got some potential. Guardians of the Galaxy, we're still going to ride this horse until the next Marvel movie, I think. Look at those numbers.
Yeah, it brought in a few more million this week. It's now at 320 million domestic, 645 million worldwide.
Now, we're going to record next week before it opens in China. So 2 weeks from now, we'll have numbers from the China opening and we'll see. But it's getting close to 700 million. Now, it won't get there before the China opening, but 645, that's a lot before you open up into a $1.2 billion market.
Is China a high piracy country?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because I wonder if at this point they've seen it.
Well, it's the experience, though. I mean, how many times have you seen a movie on a DVD or whatever and go, oh, man, I wish I would have seen that in the theater?
Not often, because I usually see the big ones in theater.
There you go. Well, I imagine a lot of people like to see it, too, because it is pretty. It is good on the big screen. I did not see it in 3D, but I did see it on the big screen, and that's cool.
And lastly, for numbers, Awesome Mix Volume 1, the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, has officially gone gold. Which means it sold over 500,000 copies.
Wow.
I was listening to it in my car.
That is awesome. I actually was listening to it today. I came home from work and I was working on my old computer, trying to get it back up and working because it died. I wasn't successful, but...
it's, old computer haver.
I know. It's great. I got a new one though, so that's cool.
Me too. It's shiny and new.
It is. And you got a better monitor than I do.
Ha ha ha.
Anyway, so I was just fooling around. It's like, I had my iPhone with me. I'm like, I got to do something while I'm waiting for this to try to reboot. And I'm like, Siri, play Guardians of the Galaxy. And it did. It was great.
Good job, Siri.
Good job. Going to have you for a couple another weeks and then we'll get another Siri. Should I not say that too loud in front of the phone?
You're going to hurt her feelings.
What's the protocol?
Well, the robot uprising hasn't happened yet, so I think you're safe.
Okay. Well, I'm still going to be nice to it because Sean has always told us, you got to be nice to the robots because someday they're going to figure out if you're really nice to them or not. So, all right. That's it for the ratings. On to the news. We have episode name. This is funny. They'll give us episode names for 10 and then 15 and then 3. I mean, we get 4 and 6 this week.
Yeah, well, we got 5 last week.
Well, 4 isn't question mark anymore.
No. We found out this week that episode 4 is going to be called I Will Face My Enemy, and episode 6 is titled A Fractured Rose.
I wonder if that's going to be a frozen rose that's fractured. I mean, how do you fracture a rose?
That's got to be a Reyna episode.
Yeah.
Miss Flowers, yeah. Kind of doesn't have the ring to it when anybody else, but Bill Paxton says it, though. Oh, well.
I don't think anybody's called her that.
Flowers?
No. Episode, no, they call her the girl in the flower dress, but they don't call her Flowers. And they don't call her that anymore, really.
Yeah, they know her name is Reyna, so there you go. Yeah. Well, and shoving the conversation right smack dab back at Guardians of the Galaxy, we have a DVD Blu-ray release.
Woot! Woot! December 9th, which means you guys can all get it from me for Christmas.
You need the many copies, right?
Yeah, actually, don't get it for me for Christmas because I'll have already had it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. I wonder how many different copies they're going to give out this time because...
11.
It's like, ugh. I'm going to buy one, whatever that one is the one I'm going to get, and
Think of it this way. You can always... find the extra features by other means, unless they're actually a physical booklet or something. And then
or a cardboard sleeve. A cardboard sleeve with exclusive artwork.
Yeah.
At least they're putting them all out at once instead of putting out a version now and then 6 months later putting out another version. X-Men.
I know. I'm going to have to wait all this time to buy Days of Future Past because I want the Rogue cut.
I know, me too.
I got to buy the next version of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, too. You know, it's the extra, extra, extra extended version. It'll take you 2 years to watch because you're actually walking with the Hobbits.
If I have actually, you know, by the time all 3 Hobbit movies come out, oh, God, that's so soon, isn't it? But if I get all of the special editions ones, and then by the time all the special edition ones are out and they re-release it in a box set with commentary, I'm going to be so angry. And then I'll still probably buy it.
Yeah. They're going to re-release a version where it's filmed, the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, where it's filmed from the Hobbit's perspective with GoPros.
That's fine. I get to look at Sean Bean's crotch.
For one movie, yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, aren't they practically telling the story in real time?
Exactly. And how fun is that? Another.
And now watch a hobbit poop.
Now watch the ponies poop.
That's a little too Top Gear-ish for me.
Now watch an elf poop. Do elves poop?
I'm sure they do.
They poop roses.
Where do you think flowers come from?
I mean, they're vegetarians, right? So they're
not all of them
eating lots of fiber. I thought they all were.
No, I actually read into this for something. I was, at least in the olden days, the elves of Doriath and all that actually hunted deer and stuff for feasts. Mm. At least some elves are not vegetarians.
Interesting. Did not know that. Abby, I'm sorry, but did not know that. Well, another thing that I would prefer not to talk about because it deals with Ward, he has a brother that's been cast.
Yeah, Tim DeKay is going to be playing his older brother, and we're going to see him in episode 6 of this season.
A fractured rose.
Mm.
So maybe Ward is the fractured rose.
I'd like to fracture something.
But yeah, like this is larynx. Older brother that was terrible to him, right?
Right.
And I've seen some people guess that since his older brother is playing Senator Ward, that this might be the senator with deep pockets who, once Coulson arrested or dead or whatever it was that Talbot was talking about.
Yep, in this episode this week. Yeah, I could see that. I was thinking it might be Gary Shandling again, but I don't know.
But he's been arrested.
Well, he got arrested,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is definitely Hydra, and he got canned.
Yeah, he did. We saw it. It was great. Moving on, we have some interesting Agent Carter news. Haley?
Yeah, they've confirmed that Dominic Cooper will be reprising his role as Howard Stark in the Agent Carter series.
That is so cool!
Which we all suspected, but we're glad to hear confirmed.
Yes.
They had to have come out with some sort of... Somebody reached into their pocket and said, please.
He's done TV before, though. He was on that Ian Fleming show for BBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that was the problem. I think the problem was the amount of money that he would command, I think, was the issue. But.
Plus, I know that he did say that he wanted to do it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd heard the same thing.
Well, then it all worked out.
Yes. And because of this, we have also seen Haley Atwell in Howard Stark's mustache.
Which was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
It was. What do you think is better, the Jeremy Renner face of Scarlett Johansson last week or Haley Atwell in the mustache?
See, Haley Atwell in the mustache was adorable. Jeremy Renner in the mask was unnerving.
Yeah, it was a little terrifying.
It was. It looked like one of, you know, in retrospect, it was like one of those fake masks that you see in the original Total Recall. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. All right. Terrible movie. Moving on to Lucy Lawless, and I'll let you girls take this.
Okay, so Blaster.com had an interview with Lucy Lawless about this and last episode. So remember how I was like, she's not dead. She's not mm-hmm. dead.
No, they yep. never have Lucy Lawless on the show just to kill her in the first episode. That'd be stupid.
Well, the Hollywood Reporter, she played coy and said that all things are possible. There are no absolutes and every boundary is bendable. Judging by Lawless's comments, it sounds like she was brought in almost like a featured guest star for the premiere, but she seems game to return. So who knows what the future holds? Yeah, she goes on to talk a little bit about the experience and just, it's a fun little article, but come on, she can't be dead. You can't bring in Xena just to kill her that quickly.
If I've learned anything about Xena, it's that she can totally get better from being dead.
Exactly. She died how many times on the show?
Well, she was definitely dead at the end of last episode in my book, but this episode we didn't actually see her, so I'll give you guys the possibility that she's going to come back.
If you're allowed to keep saying that Sitwell is coming back, we can say that Lucy Lawless is coming back.
I'm fine with that. That's fine. It's a comic book show. Heck, I think, what was her name from last year, the other agent that was...
Victoria Hand?
Yeah, Victoria Hand.
She's not dead either. I know. She has to come back.
But she
They're
was
both
shot.
Off somewhere on vacation.
They're in Tahiti.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's a magical place.
It is, but the after effects are just... We'll talk about that later. So... Mockingjay joining the Avengers has been discussed.
Katniss is not joining the Avengers, although that would be awesome.
They've already got an R2.
And I'm sure that fanfic has been written.
I read this as Mockingjay because we were talking about this earlier on Gonna Geek this week, and I think that the Avengers need to be in Mockingjay.
You know, I've read a really good Avengers Hunger Games crossover.
Yeah, fanfic?
Yeah, where it's the Avengers dropped into basically, it's... Well, not really like Avengers as they are now, but like it's the characters in the Hunger Games type situation. It was really good, actually. But Adrian Palicki says that Mockingbird joining the Avengers has been discussed. Absolutely. That was one of the things that was discussed when I was coming on for the part, you know? We'll see what happens. It's such a nice world that we live in that a crossover can happen so often now, which in the past never really did so. So that would be cool.
It would be cool. And she could room with Agent 13. That would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool. We could have an all-girl kick-ass Avengers team.
We could.
Just do a movie like that. Everybody's been making a big deal of like new Expendables, but with girls. Do an all-girl Avengers team, and then they just take down Dr. Doom. I know that Dr. Doom is owned by Fox right now, but we could have a totally not Dr. Doom.
So, in the original Avengers, who do we have? We have Iron Man, we have Hulk, we have Thor, Captain America, Hawkeye, and Black Widow, right?
So we have Black Widow, Rescue, She-Hulk, Mockingbird, Agent 13.
Carol Danvers?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's six right there. That's the sixth replacement. That's what I was counting off before. We had six Avengers, right?
Yes.
So you just named off six female Avengers.
Yeah.
Or new Thor.
I could do more. I could do more.
Well, see, that's what my point is. Which six would you pick?
Well, Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
In place of which one?
Just and.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're at seven.
I would say Wasp, but, you know, they kind of ruined that.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Stupid movies ruin everything except they make them awesome.
Okay. Well, if you guys think of something else, let me know because that's interesting. But talking about awesome movies, upcoming awesome movies, Doctor Strange got a couple of news items here.
Well, I found a couple of sites that were saying it's been confirmed to have a July 8th release date, but I couldn't find it from some other sites that I usually get this kind of news from. So I wonder if it's just people continuing to infer it and saying that they know it for sure.
Somebody overheard somebody else's lunchtime conversation at the mall?
Yeah. Because we've been predicting that it's going to be on the July 8th date for months now, but we haven't got an official confirmation.
Yeah. Do we have confirmation of who will or who will not play Doctor Strange?
Well, at this point, they're saying probably mostly not Joaquin Phoenix. Probably.
What about Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hawke is rumored to possibly be.
Well, I thought I read that he would be interested in doing it, but there's not like an official in talks thing at this point.
So there's this Twitter account, Collider Frosty, that has been saying for weeks, no, you guys, really, it's Joaquin Phoenix. It's seriously, any day now they're going to announce it. So I saw, nope, it's not going to be him. I was like, man, what has he been saying? So I went to his account today and he said that it must have fallen apart really recently, like yesterday afternoon, because yesterday morning when he talked to somebody, it was still Joaquin Phoenix. And by yesterday morning, I mean October 1st. And then in another tweet, he said that he spoke to a talent director or something like that, who said that as of yesterday morning, I guess his information had been accurate. So take that for what it's worth. I don't know.
I wonder if either of these guys are being considered to direct Ant-Man. Well, regardless of that, I almost pissed you ladies off, but I decided not to. Regardless of
that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have another rumor for Luke Cage.
Yes. Oh my God. So this is at this point, just a rumor. Oh man. And I just, as I open up the page...
Oh, I see the tweet.
I know. Well, the rumor had been that Dulé Hill from Psych had been cast as Luke Cage.
Dulé Hill.
I know, right? And then, according to his Twitter account, he said, Dulé Hill has been cast as Luke Cage. Said the liar. Hashtag rumor. It's so sad.
Maybe it's just lies and subterfuge to throw us off his trail.
It could be.
Marvel's been known to do it before. What did Coulson say about Marvel? Marvel is S.H.I.E.L.D. and...
Well, I read another article from... Anthony Mackie said that the way that it works with Marvel is he'll get a call and they'll be like, okay, you need to be in Bolivia in 2 weeks. Stop eating carbs and start working out. Bye. And then they'll hang up. Oh, and don't tell anyone.
And it was Clark Gregg that said, you know, you'll get a text in the middle of the night with a number that doesn't have the right number of digits.
Yeah. Well, on the upside, New York Comic Con is on October 11th. So that's, you know, pretty soon. So hopefully we'll hear a little bit more about the Netflix series casting. Maybe who's going to be playing Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and such.
Yeah, Netflix continues to pull in new series. We just had a deal announced. It was either today or yesterday that Adam Sandler announced a 4-movie deal with Netflix. That's amazing.
And the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel is going to be on Netflix.
Yeah, so Netflix is, they're striving forward. So good on that. I'm wondering when the next Netflix competitor will be out there. And I guess Amazon Prime would be considered one, but they just don't have the horsepower that Netflix does at this time. So we'll see. But in the meantime, yeah. Netflix has Marvel.
Do you either of you know what the release schedule is planned for all of the series?
No idea.
Like, I know Daredevil is going to be next summer. Do we know how long it's going to be before the next one?
No idea. Nope. I don't even know if they're going to release all the episodes at the same time now or not. So we'll see.
Well, I would bet they would, because that's been their model with all of their
shows. They might change it, though. Who knows? At this point, you don't know. And you know what else you don't know? You don't know what Marvel Universe would be like today if we had Black Widow instead of Iron Man.
Yeah, there was a story going around this week that Marvel almost, well, not Marvel Studios, but Black Widow almost had a movie made before Iron Man did, and that it was being shopped at the same time that a lot of other female-led action movies came out. Tomb Raider, Kill Bill, Blood Rain, Ultraviolet, and Aeon Flux. And because some of those did not do well, and they felt that the market was saturated, they didn't want to take a chance on it at the time.
Well, and there was no casting done back then, so we don't know if we would have gotten Scarlett Johansson or not. Probably not.
I think they would have considered her too young at that time.
Yeah, so it would have definitely been different than what we're looking at now. So maybe it was for the better, but I still want a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, and this was before Marvel was its own studio, so it might have sent the whole universe in a completely different direction.
Definitely would have. Absolutely. Talking about other women in Marvel-based movies, we could have a Silk in a Spidey 2017 film.
Right. We've been talking for a while about the female-led Spider-Man universe movie that Sony wants to make by 2017. They have recently registered a trademark for the character named Silk, who was introduced in the comics fairly recently, I think within the last year or two. She was bitten at the same time as Peter Parker was by one of the radioactive spiders, and she does like organic webbing and stuff. I don't know a lot about her because she's a new character and I haven't gotten there yet.
Do you know anything about her, Lauren?
I think she's a Dan Slott creation.
Well, tell you what, operator, I know you know who Silk is, so let us know and we'll talk about it next time because this can wait till 2017.
Yeah, she's a Dan Slott creation in the most recent run of Spider-Man.
Okay.
I know that a couple of my friends who really like Spider-Man have not been happy about Dan Slott's current run. If you are currently reading Spider-Man and have a different opinion, I would like to hear from you. I haven't been following it lately, so yeah, let me know.
Yeah, and I just haven't had time, but Jay might know too. Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio, another great podcast on the Geek Geek Network. He is all Spidey all the time, so he might know as well. Brian Singer?
Singer.
So Brian is directing X-Men Apocalypse.
And this story is a couple weeks old, but we haven't talked about it yet. And it was kind of suspected. But he is definitely confirmed as the director, which is good because he's done a pretty good job with the X-Men franchise.
Amazing. Do you know anything of what happened with his personal trouble? Because after the movie came out, I haven't heard anything about it.
I believe that the lawsuits were dropped.
Go figure. Man. Somebody just trying to make a buck. It's what it sounds like. I mean, maybe they paid him off. I don't know.
Might have been paid off. I mean, I've read some sources that said that, yeah, he was kind of notorious for having these parties with very slightly underage or right around underage boys and stuff like that.
Go figure. Okay. Well, this was interesting. I ran across this via Facebook this week, and it seemed pretty interesting to me. On Huffington Post, it said that Marvel co-founder Stan Lee, which I don't know is necessarily a true statement there, but he's good, big in Marvel, so let's go with it. Marvel co-founder Stan Lee may play the same character in all of his movie cameos.
Hashtag it's all connected.
Yeah. So we're talking all his cameos in Fox, all his Sony cameos, all his pre-Marvel movie days. all of his cameos are the same character. So it's a hidden Easter egg.
That character would be the Watcher. The most obnoxious character in all of Marveldom, except for maybe Rick Jones.
I can't argue with either of those.
So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, if he really is the Watcher or not. But I don't know if they're going to give us more tidbits of that as the movies go along here. And the last news item we have for the week is on our friend Jeremy Renner and talking about his movies that he is or is not signed up for.
Maybe Avengers 3 and Hawkeye is the rumor right now. He was contracted to do all three Avengers movies and a solo movie if they decided to do that. But it's looking like instead of having him do his own Hawkeye movie, they'll tweak the contract so that his starring in the next Captain America movie would fill in for that.
That'd be good. That'd be good. As this generation of Avengers kind of weans its way out of the universe, I could definitely see them wanting to close off that character that way. So we'll just see from there. Ugly. Just had to get that in there. Jeremy, love you, man. Okay. So this week was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 2, Heavy is the Head. And what did you ladies think about it?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Me too.
Me too. Me three.
Yeah.
It was
copycat.
Yeah. Well, you guys copied me because I said that way back during the news. I mean, come on. Catch up. Jeez.
Well, I said it while the episode was airing, so.
Yeah, I wasn't watching it when the episode was airing. I had to podcast. Oh, I hate that.
Me too.
I hate that because I want to watch it live and I can't. But I have watched it a couple times since, so there you go. While we get Raina back in this episode, we talk about retiling the bathrooms. Coulson has some awesome dialogue. I mean, where do you guys even want to start here?
Yeah, it's a government agency that's strapped for cash, so remodeling the bathrooms is a top priority. Yeah,
with gold fixtures. Although, I want to point out one thing, especially because of all the old-style file cabinets and stuff. Do you think this might be S.H.I.E.L.D.'s original building that Agent Carter is going to be filmed in?
It might be. I mean, it does have SSR stuff kind of peppered around the place.
Uh-huh. And there are a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. symbols around too, by the way, so we didn't break them all.
Yeah.
And depending on what the filming schedules were, that might have been a way to save money on sets.
It might have been.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they just went ahead and did it as
just
one.
Like, leave it up.
Yeah, right. I think that's what happened here. So we won't know for sure until late November, early December. So we'll
actually
just see.
I was looking on IMDb today and they have 2015 listed as the start date.
Okay.
So I wonder if they're going to go on a brief hiatus between the end of, you know, season 2A mm-hmm. and the beginning of Agent Carter.
Like do a mid-season finale, like a Christmas sort of episode, like a couple weeks before Christmas and then come back after the holidays with Agent Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. That would probably be the best airing because you don't want to cliffhang with a non-cliffhanger Agent Carter in the middle of their season right during the holidays. So I like that one better. Yeah. Fitz. Okay, go ahead. Say it.
Oh.
Say it, Lauren.
Science baby.
There you go.
Science babysitter.
Yeah.
Mac is cool.
I like Mac.
Me too. I have, that is my official position on Mac. I like him. Science babysitter.
So does Ted Simmons. She was totally checking him out.
Seriously. Which is especially funny because Fitz is unconscious.
You know, I was paying attention to Simmons' dialogue a little bit more this week, and I found that she was talking a lot like Fitz would and not like what Simmons would.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I said, it's his subconscious doing all the talking. Like what was it? I knew I should have wrote this down. Right around the time when they're like, oh, no, we can't steal their project out from under them. They'd be so hurt. It's just like, well, what did they just do to him? I mean, that's him being hurt by that.
Yeah, it was still difficult to watch him this week. Matter of fact, maybe a little bit more difficult than last week because you're like, Simmons is actually telling you and you're just not saying it. It's like, oh, come on.
Well, I think she doesn't help him when other people are around. It's only when he's by himself.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it's like a protective, kind of self-protective measure, I guess. He knows people treat him weird, so don't give him any more reason to treat him weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he's got Head Simmons telling him to talk to Mac, that's him trying to help himself out of what he's in.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, I like this guy. You can trust him.
Oh.
And when he was saying, I mean, I wrote this down several times, but when he was saying, I didn't solve this today.
Okay, Did y'all get what he meant the first time he said that?
Yes, yes. I did.
Okay. Because when I was watching this with Scott, he's like, oh, has he been having problems perceiving time?
Oh, that's...
But no, I realized that's what he meant, that he had figured this out before, that there was something, and that it was like his brain was just stuck on a loop.
Mm-hmm. That was painful to watch, because he knew he had solved it already, and he couldn't verbalize it. He couldn't even say, look here.
That device, the overkill device, do y'all remember which episode it was from?
No, I was trying to remember that.
I had to look it up,
yeah.
But remember the episode where Fitz and Ward go to Russia?
Yes.
Yeah, it's from that episode.
Oh, that's right.
What they were. Yeah, Fitz had to mess with it. And yeah, that's what it is. It's a modified version of it.
Well, that was where we first saw the, it was like episode 4, actually, or 7, or something like that. That was where we first saw that writing on the chalkboard.
No, that was the Aquila Amador episode.
Yeah. Oh, dang
it. This one was a little later. This one, I think, had Victoria Hand in it.
Yeah, I think it was the hub.
Oh, okay. The sandwich.
Yep.
The sandwich episode.
The sandwich.
Oh, man. It's like I didn't even podcast it. We were so busy this summer catching up with the rest of the Marvel Universe. I should have listened to my own podcast. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, good. Good.
And also, something else. Scott read, all credit to Scott here, Scott read some commentary that somebody said that the motorcycle that May stole was Cap's.
Yep.
I don't know if it is his, but it's the same model.
You know, I was watching Captain America 2, and that is a very nice motorcycle with some chrome on it and stuff. But the motorcycle that she was driving around was all subdued black. So it could be the same model, but it is decked out differently.
And May doesn't have to wear a helmet because the concrete is afraid to hit her.
Exactly.
The flowing hair is cool to watch.
There's no actual wind. It's just that the air around her knows that it needs to make her look good or else.
And then when she's behind the truck with the gun out and everything, I'm like, okay, so none of the other drivers on the road are going to call 911, and the guy that she's driving after is not looking in his rearview mirror. Okay. And then she goes back to tailing him, and he doesn't realize it. I'm like, yeah, Creel isn't really perceptive, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
He failed his perception role.
Well, I mean, if I turn my hand into rubber, then it should be okay. No.
No.
He did not use enough protection.
Yeah, it's a leakage there.
Should have double bagged it.
Oh, it's not 100%
effective.
Which,
by the way, don't do that.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
This has been Safe Sex Awareness with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And Hunter, man, going back and forth. That's going to be an interesting relationship to see this season. But the first line I loved from him was, you should know, I've been helped out of a chopper before. I'm like, really? Because we've all been thrown out of helicopters before and survived.
Did you hear that one of the operations he went on, though, was Operation Panther's Claw?
Yeah.
Oh.
5 commendations for distinguished service. Yeah, that was cool. Called him lieutenant, and then what got me is he's now a merc, but he's still being respectful towards Talbot. He said general, he said sir. I mean, if I was in his position, I'd be like, F off, man.
It's probably a bit of a habit that's hard to break.
I guess it could be. Oh, the toolbox.
Yes. Oh my God, how cool was that?
That was awesome. We've been wanting to see it forever since the end of last season. We see it as so cool.
Yes. I want it.
Oh, did you guys see Agent Carter? Like,
yes.
He was bringing up the thing on the original 084. We see Agent Carter's little thing.
Yep.
That was awesome.
So did you get the sense with this episode that Coulson is really, really the director? The way everyone's deferring to him and yes-siring? Even the people that knew him last season.
I did. The title, I mean, heavy is the head. It's, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. And you really see it weighing on Coulson. Like, just the fact that he's sending people out and he has to live with these consequences. And May gets on him for going out in the field. And she's like, you can't take those risks anymore. You are the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which comes back at the end when he wants Lance Hunter to join. He's like, I need somebody to... Okay, I said the words. Yeah. He says he needs somebody in to do the field work that he can no longer do.
Exactly. And okay, I really, really loved, speaking of all this stuff and Coulson being all wound up and that moment towards the end. Yes. Well, that was good too. He's like, I'm not very flexible.
I tried it. I'm really not flexible.
No, a question on that real quick before we get back to Lauren. Was Sky meant to hear all that? Because she never responded and she went out the door and he was kind of muttering it underneath his breath. So
I don't know. I got the feeling that it's like, have you ever sort of kind of, you're not really sure if you want to tell someone something or not. So you do sort of like, as they're leaving, just be like,
Yeah. But
I think it was like that.
I mean, if I was Sky,
like I guess he like wanted to, but then he knows that he can't because he's the director. He's supposed to be all strong and self-confident and stuff.
So he's reaching out to her as the friend that she had become, but couldn't because he's the director.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So you were saying about the end?
Well, you see him reaching out. Well, you see May reaching out to him because he is not reaching out and basically calling him an idiot. And I love that. I know that both Clark Gregg and Ming-Na Wen ship Phil Coulson, Melinda May.
Yeah.
And even if the show never goes anywhere with that, I love that you see just the camaraderie that these two have.
Yes. Well, it had been going on since the end of last season because they knew it was every 18 days they had to do this or his head would explode or something. I don't know.
It's just some like weird, which by the way, okay. Have y'all ever seen that movie Stigmata?
No.
No.
Oh, because at the end where he's carving that thing in the wall and she's taking all those pictures, that's exactly what it reminded me of.
Mm.
There's a part in Stigmata where Patricia Arquette, the main character, is writing on a wall in Aramaic. And Gabriel Byrne, who plays a priest in the movie, is watching her while she's in this trance and doing that. And then he takes a picture and that's kind of what snaps her out of it. But that whole kind of in a trance while somebody else is documenting the experience, that's kind of what it reminded me of.
I wonder how many walls they're going through if he's doing this every 2 weeks.
Did you
see the paint and the plaster and stuff?
They
I noticed
up
it the
little,
second time.
The paint blanket was came out because I've got some of those too. It's a heavier paint blanket that the paint actually won't drip through. So they had that out and they had two buckets, one of paint and one of plaster off to the side. And they got that out before he started.
Okay, I missed that part.
I missed it the first time. I caught it the second time because Scott was like, wow, that's a good knife to be carving into the drywall. I was like, no, you can see he's done this before.
Right. And what I missed last week was when Hartley picked up the object. I did not see the symbols and stuff on the object. It just lit up and that's all I was paying attention to. I wasn't paying attention to the intricacies on it. And apparently there was, so I got to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, and then you see it when Raina touches it a lot more clearly because it actually glows this time.
Yes, yes, you do.
And I'm wondering if that symbol is those symbols, but just kind of spread out onto a rectangle.
Or like layered within the obelisk.
Could be. I mean, Coulson was even making paper clips out of it, or symbols right. out of paper yeah. clips. And May picks one up and he's like, okay, you need to get something out now.
May is totally his Hill.
Yes. Yes, she is.
And Hill is still in this universe. It would be, I can't imagine them not showing her this season, but maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, just drop her in at some point.
Right.
I'd like that.
Right. And you know, it's just not a Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show without an innocent person or waitress being killed.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dangerous profession.
That's a pretty bad way to go.
Definitely. I'm like, aw. They try to, and maybe this is part of the 9 o'clock airing now this year versus last year, but they are definitely not saying there are some consequences. That was an interesting thing. They're not going to be able to save everybody. So that was an interesting statement to make. When Raina and Creel were talking outside of his creepy abduction van, have you ever heard of Hydra? Name rings a bell.
I like Raina.
Yeah, and then I think it was the very next scene, they were to the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys were talking like Coulson, Sky, May, and Sky was like, you know, he can turn any part of his body into any material. You could just see her like, yeah.
I could think of a few things.
I know.
Like, that was great. The expression on her face.
Yeah.
Like, and how everyone else is just like, yeah. I love that.
Okay, let's move on.
Somebody needs to get a little bit more action in the bunk area. That's what it was called, right? The bunks? When he sent...
I think so.
Coulson sent her down there to get Hartley's stuff.
Well, they do have Ward chained up in the basement.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't think she's that desperate.
There's that wall, though, that electronic wall that she can turn opaque.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool when Mac was calling, to get back to our Mac and Fitz relationship before, he was calling Fitz Turbo.
Yeah.
I like that nickname. I hope it sticks.
It's going to be his villain name.
Oh, God.
You had to bring that up. Fitz is a good boy.
See, I was just going to say that Turbo and the Monkey sounds like it could be a band.
That's cool.
Once he gets his like little pet monkey, the monkey can play the drums and Fitz can sing.
Turbo and the wee little monkey.
Yes.
They could totally get him a monkey as like a therapy pet.
Right?
They could. They are legitimately therapy pets now, or assistance animals.
Yeah.
They're just harder to train. They're more expensive. So most people just stick to the dogs, which I have trained before, by the way. I'm actually a certified assistance animal trainer, but I don't do monkeys. Although I feel like I have to, because Fitz needs a wee little monkey. So I'll have to look into that.
Maybe if we get him like a lemur as, you know, kind of a stepping stone to a monkey.
I don't know if I could train a lemur. So my favorite part of the episode, I'm going to go first this time, was when Hunter was trying to kill Creel and he instantly turned his head into some bulletproof metal or something like that. The
that
CGI
awesome.
On that was awesome.
Why didn't Hunter just take the shot from where Trip was stationed?
I know, right? It's like a smart move there, guy.
I don't know.
It's like, no, I'll run down and make a scene.
Maybe he wanted whatever was in that food cart. I don't know. Ice cream, hot dogs. Maybe he wanted one. I don't know. What was your favorite part of the episode, Lauren?
The part with Reyna and the obelisk and Muad'Dib.
Is that how you pronounce his name? Muad'Dib?
In Dune, yeah. Muad'Dib.
Oh. Okay. Figures. Duh.
Yeah, because he was the original Paul Atreides in the
Yes,
David
he
Lynch
was.
Dune.
He was.
So just that whole scene, it was really tense. And I was like, what's the obelisk going to do? What's it going to do? And I remember last year when we were like, okay, he has dripping hands. Are there any inhumans with dripping hands? And it turns out, no, he was just probably cutting somebody up.
It wasn't his blood.
Yeah, it wasn't his blood. At least we don't think it was.
Right.
But yeah, that scene was really tense and I thought really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we've got Whitehall and we've got Skye's dad. And we've also, from Guardians of the Galaxy, have Star-Lord's dad out there, too. Lots of dads. Go figure.
Well, if you haven't noticed, superhero properties tend to have a thing with parents.
Parents are dead.
My parents are dead!
Yeah, okay. Haley, favorite part?
I really liked the scene at the end between Coulson and Talbot, where he's yeah. like... Let's get out of here before the iceberg runs out of
time. I know. That was awesome. Now we have to change our voicemail line to 800-ICEBERG.
It's like they spent money retiling the bathrooms. Maybe should have saved up for gas money.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I mean, gas is expensive these days.
Yes, it is.
Right.
But that was cool. That was cool.
I kind of want to see them just park the bus at like a regular gas station.
And start pumping, yeah.
Coulson's like, okay, I've only got 12 bucks in my pocket, so watch the meter.
The whole Coulson's dialogue really stepped up in the last little section, act, whatever you want to call it. So after they subdued Creel, he tells Hunter, so you never were a Boy Scout, were you? He tells Hunter that May holds a grudge, not a smart move to shoot her.
She savors it.
We're lucky we still have our George Foreman grill.
Okay, Scott was like, and no, they don't because Fitz just broke it. And that is when you see Coulson snap.
Let's see. There's no levels anymore. So, folks, it might be a few weeks, but I do have to change the intro and outro of this podcast. Let's see. Oh, when Coulson was going through his episode at the end and May was filming it, did it look to you like Coulson was crying? Kind of looked to me like he was crying a little bit, but at the end,
I thought he was sweaty.
Yeah, definitely yeah. That. But I think I saw some tears, but I don't know. And then, of course, the iceberg. That was awesome. That's my favorite line of the episode. Let's get out of here before the iceberg runs out of fuel.
May, that doesn't sound covert.
Yeah, with the bus that was honking and screeching in the background. That was cool.
May has always been awesome, but she's like a billion times more awesome when they take her out of the cockpit.
She's the lead agent now. The lead
yes.
field agent.
Trip can fly the bus now.
She's the lead field agent, the team mom, head badass in charge. What's not to love?
Trip continues just to exude the coolness.
Yes.
I'm really rocking this suit last week, and this week he's like, oh yeah, baby.
I'm still not sold on Lance Hunter, but Mac can stay. I like Mac.
I like Mac a lot. I can't. I was writing Lance Hunter's name in my note, and I giggled.
Well, I guess maybe Lance needs to make friends and influence people.
The weird thing is, I like his dialogue delivery and everything. I'm just not sold on the character.
I think they need that sort of character, though, this year. But you're just never going to know where he's at. Is he really a Talbot implant? You just never know. I was shocked that he was able to get to the playground without any shaking Talbot's mint. Like, they didn't put a tracker on him, really?
That's why Trip frisked him at the door.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe he, like, well, no, I guess we would have noticed if he changed clothes.
Yeah, and again, this is nitpicky, but $1,000 rims ruined? I didn't see them ruined. I saw the tires flat. That's it. The rims were fine.
Yeah, it's not like he was driving on them for a while. The tires popped and he stopped. That was it.
Although I've never actually done that before, so I don't know if that ruins rims or not, but I don't think it does. All right, do you guys have anything else for this episode that we haven't covered already?
Sky is totally becoming a mini-May.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that mini-May.
The whole exit strategy conversation with Lance was interesting.
Yeah, we'll see if that comes up again.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Yeah.
Oh, remember the spoiler scene we talked about like a month ago that somebody had filmed from the top of their apartment building?
Yes.
Okay, it was in this episode. It was the scene where Hunter's getting ready to shoot Creel down in the...
Oh, yeah!
Okay, so the guy that was recording it was like, and that guy on the bench is a Cree. Because it was when Creel had his arm, they had it painted gray or something.
Yeah.
And he was saying, oh, that means he's a Cree. And then as soon as you know who Crusher Creel is, you're like, dude, that is not what's going on in this scene. So you could have watched it and it wouldn't have even been spoilery because the guy didn't know what he was talking about.
Marvel wins again.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Are you guys out now or you got some more?
Oh, Creel had a very conditioned response in that scene as well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, how could we not have talked about that?
Breathe deeply.
Compliance will be rewarded. I'm happy to comply.
Interesting.
Yeah, what I want to see what's up with that. But I guess we'll have to wait to find out.
I know. Yeah. It was just by watching this episode, I'm like, oh, we should have picked up on this, and this from the first episode. Like, the symbols on the object, I didn't see. That was my main thing. I'm like, dang it!
Well, you always pick on more stuff with the rewatch and with more context.
Yep, I want to see more of the toolbox.
Yes. God, yes.
That would be awesome. All right, are we out?
Well, the episode, but did you guys see the little teaser at the end of the episode?
Yes.
Okay, could you guys tell who was in the little face holder thingy?
No, I was going to go back and check, but then I was already running late, so...
See, I tried to watch it again the second time, and I still couldn't tell, but I thought it looked kind of like Lucy Lawless.
I was kind of hoping it was, because that would mean she's alive.
I know, it might have been wishful thinking.
No, I don't have any clue.
Whoever it was, their makeup was really smeary, but which I guess makes sense when, you know, you're in a eye-holdy open thingy, presumably being held by bad guys. Because I don't think your friends would really do that to you unless... You know, you were into that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, there was the Polycraft Chair of Doom last season. That was a shield thing, so who knows?
Okay, and then I do not buy for one second that Simmons would go to Hydra.
I don't know about that.
I don't want to believe it. Tell me that she's going undercover.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
thinking.
What I think.
Just please tell me that, you know. My science baby is still on the light side.
The whole Coulson dialogue of, did you think I wouldn't know? I'm sure that's taken out of context.
Yeah, I bet she like tried to go off on a rogue mission on her own.
Yeah, and maybe she's, like, seriously. Maybe she snuck into Hydra to try and find a way to fix Fitz.
I know, that's what I'm hoping. Somebody better be trying to fix that because that poor boy needs some help. He needs a miracle. He needs a Mirakuru.
Though probably not actual Mirakuru, because that might backfire.
Yeah, that could end poorly.
It usually does. actually, in this universe, of course, there's the Captain America Super Soldier Serum, and that hasn't gone well for anybody but Chris Evans. So, okay. Anything else, ladies?
Science babysitter.
Science babysitter.
Making this happen, y'all.
You know, Marvel has this great way of putting in the funny and the light in addition to all the stuff that's going out around them. So This is great. This is a great show. Well, join us next week as we talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 3, Making Friends and Influencing People. We do have a website. It's legendsofshield.com that will take you to the ourgunnageek.com page with all our contact information on there, including our voicemail line. That is 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. And no, I was kidding. I'm not really going to change it to 800-ICEBERG, although that still would be cool. Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And go to the forums. I'm going to get this right this time. Just listen. This will be for the time. Forums.gunnageek.com. Search Gunna Geek, all one word, no spaces, on your mobile device, Tapatalk app.
Woohoo!
Got it. All right. As we mentioned before, give us your top 5 Marvel characters, episode feedback, science of Marvel questions, Wing is Wrong, and what kind of sport Agent Coulson would have played in high school.
Yeah, and thanks for all the likes on Facebook for all of our posts and for liking the page. And also thank you to Willie Nelson for his voicemail feedback this week.
And thank you for everyone who has gotten a hold of us on Twitter. Mr. Paracletes, Andy Minga, The Operator 01, Stephen Jondrew, and A Little Too Clinical, and Sithwitch.
Yeah, I wonder who that is. We got to find out someday.
I don't know.
Seriously, folks, it's at Sithwitch. It's Lauren. Go hook her up. Hook us up at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's great. Also, Movie Man, thank you so much for our very first iTunes review. We're going to have to do something special for you, so stay tuned on that. Thank you to all of our listeners. You guys are why we do this. We would talk about it amongst ourselves, but this is why we put it out for everybody, because you listen. So until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
We'll see you next week, folks. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.